Broadcasting 2.0 for June 2nd, 2023, episode 135, Maximizing the Pull. Oh, yeah. Once again, time for your board meeting, Podcasting 2.0. It is your weekly end of the week enjoyment. We are the boardroom that runs on human intelligence, nothing artificial here. I'm Adam Curry in the heart of the Texas Hill Country, and in Alabama, the man you need to call for your enlargement jobs, databases that is. Say hello to my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
Don't get me into that game, please.
I was so impressed.
We're limited to only databases.
I was so impressed. You were streaming it. Well, you were streaming it live, and we had lots of people watching. That was
fun.
That was fantastic. You know, you had your pussy by your side.
Adam Curry.
That's what do you mean? No, your black hat.
I do agree with Alex. It is the height of folly to allow your cat to walk around on the desk while you're doing server maintenance. That is a very stupid idea, and that did not stop me from doing it, though.
I think we could have a Dude Named Ben channel where all you can switch between is because if you didn't see it, people. So you basically saw Dave's screens, and then in the corner was Dave. And he had a playlist going. So, you know, we're listening to the music. We're seeing what you're typing on the screen. All your different terminal windows are open. And, you know, and everyone's, of course, waiting for you to show something you shouldn't show.
Like my credit card number.
Something, whatever. You know, then you switch it over to the cat. And then you popped on the mic and you're like, look at my keyboard. I got a whole bunch of these keyboards. And it was keyboard porn. I was like, oh, that's a great keyboard. I love that. Where'd you get that keyboard? It was interesting.
Showing off my 1980s keyboards that weigh 20 pounds each. Yeah. That was great.
And in general, I just like to say, because it was a conversation, you know, No Agenda Social froze or something. I'm not quite sure what happened. And as usual, you know, and it doesn't matter if people use a resource like our Mastodon server for No Agenda for free or if they pay for it. Doesn't matter. People are always bitching. And I just want to say, and you know, seriously, you know, now in big tech land, it's called a glitch. You know, it's just a glitch. Mm-hmm. But it's long, long, long ago, I understood that the people who really run my world, and I think everybody's world, are sysadmins, server admins, IT admins. You need to temper yourself.
Yes.
Because and random acts of kindness will get you very, very far with the people who run the world. And they truly are the ones who run your world. You don't know it. But when something goes wrong, if you're the first one.
You have partially, I feel like I can say this with authority. You have partially built your career on being kind and playing nice with sysadmins. That has been part. That's been part of you for 25 years at least.
Actually, it goes a little bit further than that. When I started doing television when I was 19, I made sure I knew how everybody's job worked. So I knew how the cameras worked. Now, I'm not saying that I could be a better cameraman, but I knew how they worked. I knew how the dollies worked, how the intercom worked, how you press the button to see the live feed. I knew how the audio engineer, the lighting engineer, makeup, everything. I made sure I knew how, because television, you need everybody. If everyone's not on board, it's going to suck. If one person is out of sync, and that's with film, I guess the same. I don't know that much about film, but I guess similar. And I've always wanted to know how everybody's job worked. And so similar when technology came along. Because only then can I get out of it what I want out of it, is if I know how everything works and I can sympathize with the issues of others.
Yeah. So you need to know how their stuff works so that you can understand their frustration. You can empathize, so you can have empathy.
Yeah, well, not just have empathy, but I can brainstorm and say, well, okay, I don't know exactly how this works, but can we do this? Mm-hmm. And if you're not full of crap, which most people are, you know, then you'll have an interesting conversation. You'll figure it out.
Because this all comes like no agenda social. Is it still down?
No, it was back up. But, you know, so okay. I started that Mastodon site running on a Amazon EC2 instance. And I ran it for 2 years and then it just became so unwieldy. You know, the upgrades, all the stuff that's going on, the pruning of the data. But I just couldn't handle it anymore. And then Matt Hamilton stood up and said, "Oh, dude, I'll do it and I'll take it in. I'll run it in my basement." And, you know, so with predictable results, like any server, from time to time, shits the bed, you know, especially Mastodon, like it just shits the bed. It's a centralized resource. 10,000 people have an account and Lord knows how much is, you know, federated through it. And just people complain. You know, I mean, and I won't say they always complain, but like, well, it's down. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, yeah, so what? Okay, it'll come back up. And then, yeah, but it was just when the show was going. You needed it now.
I don't guess I've ever told you my, I don't guess we've ever talked about my three pillars of help desk.
Oh, goodness. This sounds like some inside info that will do me good.
These are part of the, it's part of a larger, you could call it, there's a lot more here. I mean, so one of, you could say these are like a bunch of rules of IT where it's kind of like Ron Swanson's pyramid of greatness. Maybe, you know, there's like a whole bunch of these things.
Yeah, of course.
Like a whole bunch of these things, but you can wrap, but it's specifically help desk. You can wrap most. I've been doing help desk for 27 years. I started in 1990, end of 96.
Wow.
So, I mean, like I've been hands-on with end-user support in some capacity
that
for
was
almost 30 years.
Novell Networks. You were still using Novell?
Yeah, all that. Yeah. And so, I mean, this is born out of a long experience. The three pillars of help desk are all software sucks and is full of bugs. That's number one.
Yep.
Number two, users don't tell you the truth.
Yep, totally.
And number three, nobody reads your emails. Those are the three pillars.
But wait, there's a fourth one. When in doubt, install Adobe Acrobat Reader.
It's true. You got that thing. Actually, if there's a fourth one, it's this. If whatever is wrong, if you're on Wi-Fi, that's at least 50% of the problem. That's the fourth. That's the fourth rule.
And DNS. And there's always DNS is always an issue.
Yeah. There's a reason that rule number one is all software sucks and is full of bugs.
Because it's true.
It's because it's true.
It's true.
And
of course,
as a sysadmin, there's nothing you can do about it. So, like I was case in point. I was doing an Amazon order this morning, and I went in there to add an address. Because this was going to be drop shipped to somebody else. Mm-hmm. So I go in there to add an address. And in the address field for the street address, it came up and it was pre-populated with something. So I take my mouse, I click in there, and I swipe the mouse cursor to the left in order to highlight the entire string. Mm-hmm. So I can delete it.
Oh.
I do that. When I swipe to the left, the address entry screen goes away. And I was like, what the heck? And so I do it again. I click, drag to the left, and the whole thing goes away again.
Right.
And then it dawned on me, this is a mobile gesture bug in the desktop version of Amazon. They haven't fixed
it. Yep.
This is on the arguably the largest, highest traffic site in the world.
E-commerce site, no less. E-commerce.
And they still have a subtle mobile gesture bug in their input forms.
Of course,
it all sucks, all of it.
So, I really wish everyone. I guess another one is people. The users always have their caps lock on when they don't know their password or it's not working. That's always kind of like a given. What happens in my household now? Of course, I'm IT guy here. You know, that's cool. But I'm also, I get pass-through messages through Tina from her friends who she's onboarding onto podcasting 2.0 apps. And the message usually the message usually come through like this. This thing is so glitchy. It's so glitchy. Well, what are you trying to do? You know, and here is actually an interesting one that it was like, wow, really? when I use Siri in the car, the podcast stops playing. Well, of course it does. That's the OS. That's not the app. But then the next thing is, then after I've used Siri, the volume controls don't work. You know, so it's stuff like this. And there's like, it's so glitchy. I'm going to go back to whatever, you know, fill in whatever I was using. And I was like, no, this is great. Thank her. Thank you so much. And this is the other side of the equation. Thank you for identifying this bug. You know, well, you're a bug hunter. I need you here. I need you to do this. This is great. You're helping humanity.
Yeah. Please continue to break things.
Yeah. This is the other side of it. You know, sysadmins and help desks have to also understand that you need to approach people with, wow, that's amazing. There's a whole department of quality assurance that did not find that. Oh my God, you have a future job if you want one. You know, that's right. So we have to kind of live with each other. We have to kind of do that. Agreed. Anyway, back to the database upgrade. Congratulations. Yeah, it worked.
And it's great. It has definitely helped. Most certainly it has helped load aggregation times. I mean, upgrading the database. Yeah, it was fun doing the live stream. That was great. And then I'm a little addicted to live stream coding now. But
I can understand. It's all ego, of course, but I can understand.
Oh yeah, full. It's 100% ego. Yeah. Well, you're 100%. It's 100% ego.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It is from A to Z ego.
I did this on Megyn Kelly. I can't believe it. I threw out 100%.
You just did it automatically.
And I went, oh, I'm sorry. I retract that. She said, what? What happened? What happened? I said 100%. I'm trying to get away from that. Why? Because Kara Swisher says it.
Did you say that on air?
Oh, yeah. I threw her under the bus. No problem. No problem.
See, Mike, you said, why PostgreSQL instead of Mongo? If you're talking about the main database, it's neither. It's MySQL. So that's not, yeah. I guess that's what you're talking about.
So you want to give us, are there any details? Do you want to just give us, this is the central podcast index database. You know, we increased our cost. We increased our capacity, our processing speed or our data retrieval speed. I mean, give us a little breakdown here.
All of the above. It was most, number one issue was disk space. We were at 81% disk space usage. So that was going to have to change. The biggest issue was disk space. Second biggest issue was just processor. We needed more CPU because we were just doing a lot more traffic.
Right.
And we had I think people would be very surprised at the amount of horsepower we get out of the size of database instance we were using. So that database had, the old one had 16 gigs of RAM, six vCPUs and
database porn. Oh, yeah. 16 of what? You had 16 what's? What are those things?
16 gigabytes of RAM.
Oh, RAM it, baby.
And if you look at HTOP, it was like,
oh, I love your HTOP. Show me your HTOP.
I'm on HTOP. But if you look at it, it was like not all the CPU, all the cores were pegged at like 95%+ all the time, just pretty much constantly. Mm. Now it's a 32 gig box with eight cores, 640 gigs of RAM. And so we can easily fit the entire podcast table, feed table in RAM, cached fully. We can fit a lot of the joining tables in, and that's helping a lot. So we're able since the cache size is about 28 gigs. Mm-hmm. So that means, on the second request, it's pulling straight out of RAM a lot of the time. Unless you do some sort of like full sweep.
And that's what makes it, that's what makes everything always fast, right? Pull it out of RAM.
Yep, for sure. So like things like, you know, just things like very frequent lookups, like in the dev API key table and stuff like that. I mean, the stuff's just, it's just smoke fast now. So, it's good. It was good. And so that let us, the other thing we needed was at the aggregators. There's 9 aggregators and they all grab batches of feeds at a time, according to some SQL selectors. Mm-hmm. And to try to like even everything out across, even the load out across all the aggregator fleet. And so they grab batches of feeds, and then when they write back to the database, we would just get these like occasionally get deadlocks because
we don't deadlock bad.
Yeah, deadlock is bad.
Deadlock bad.
That got better after the upgrade. But then I spent some time the day afterwards going through and doing something I've been meaning to do for a while. And so I improved the aggregators and they're more reliable now. So, what I did was I want everything to be at maximum utilization. So the way this works is that there's 9 aggregators. They each take a batch of feeds. So like aggregator 1 grabs all the feeds that are marked as for immediate pull, immediate parse between feed ID 0 and 1,000,000. Aggregator 2 takes all of the immediate parse feeds between a million
and 2 million. Okay.
Right. So that's the first selector criteria. So it takes those off the top.
Can I ask you a question? Okay. Cause you get a feel for these things, right? So you have 4 of those aggregators, I guess, that go up to the 4 million or 5 million. Do you notice that one of those is a little faster than the other?
One of them is a little faster.
See, yeah. I knew it because you can feel that shit. You're like, this one's just faster. This is faster. I know. It's cool.
Well, this is an interesting thing, too. For some reason, and I'm not sure exactly why, don't know if it's got something to do with the way that we initially seeded the database or whatever, but a lot of the frequently updated podcasts, the most frequently updated podcasts are in the 0 to 1,000,000 ID range. Hmm. There's a lot of those.
Interesting.
So a lot of them have 6-digit ID numbers or 5-digit ID numbers, like podcasting 2.0, 920666 is a podcast index ID for that. Or
920666.
920666.
Really? We are 920666?
Yeah.
That doesn't feel good.
Can't change it. It's the devil's number.
Yeah, it's no kidding.
No agenda's 41504. So there's a lot of these low numbers that, I don't know, they just ended up in that range. So, Sir Spencer, 946122. These are like...
it's like some special cool code, man.
Yeah. But, okay, so you have... That's what each aggregator does initially. But then that may only be at any given time. That may only be like, I don't know, 10 feeds.
Right.
That are marked for immediate pulling. So it fills in the rest of its batch with feeds that have not based on a priority system. There's a priority number in there. And it's descending of priority plus sorted by how long it's been since the feed was last checked.
This is called an algorithm, also sometimes called artificial intelligence.
It's fully AI.
Yeah, we need to put that in podcastindex.org now with AI.
Yeah, we can claim that. We can get R&D research credit, tax credit.
Now you're talking. You know what? This whole thing is R&D research credit.
Oh yeah, we need to apply for that.
But we'd have to. I think we have to pay ourselves first in order it's only for people. I think.
Isn't it's only for payroll, only right? Payroll. And we don't have payroll. So, yes, this wouldn't work. Oh well. So it fills in that. So what I wanted to do was make sure that it's getting as many feeds as it possibly can at every pull. So I have it start.
It's called maximizing the pull.
Yes, maximizing the pull, show title. it starts at 1,000 feeds. It pulls 1,000. So this would be each aggregator does this. It starts at 1,000 and then at a time pulls that. And if it will pull the feeds and then using aggravator, which is the Rust puller, then it passes that batch of feeds to party time, which is the JavaScript parser. Mm. If party time crashes, we know that there was it pulled too much data and it ran Node out of memory. Ooh. So basically it drops a touch file before it starts, passes it to Node. If that touch file is still there after it completes, it knows that Node crashed.
It's hung, right?
Yeah. It quit. It crashed. Yeah. It core dumped.
Yeah.
So it backs off in increments of 100 feeds until it finds a level that it doesn't crash.
This is a very intricate algorithm you've created here.
It ended up being complicated.
Is a lot of this freedom controller knowledge?
No, this is just stuff that we've learned since the index.
Oh, okay. All right.
Wow. No, well, the freedom controller never had this many feeds to deal with.
So right, true.
You just never had this kind of problem. You're talking about like the average freedom controller server has like 6,000 feeds. You know, it's not a big deal. But so it finds a point where it doesn't crash and then stays there. And if it stays there for 48 hours, it tries to move up a little bit more. If it crashes again, it goes back down. So it'll periodically try to raise its feed pull level if it can.
Now, this is maybe like a crazy
48 hours.
Maybe a crazy question, but when it dumps core, I mean, doesn't that mean something fundamentally is wrong, or is that just an out of memory issue?
It runs
or shitty runs code. Node. Is it just shitty code?
Hey, this is my code. It's not shit. Yeah. Well, no, remember rule number one, all software sucks and there's full of bugs. Even yours, you know. Uh-huh. So the issue here is that like aggravator, you could throw 100,000 feeds at it and it will take about 30 minutes to download them all. But it will do it.
Yeah.
And it will never use more than 200 megs of RAM at the most. It's just super efficient that way. Once you pass the feed XML over to party time, JavaScript has, you have limits there because now you're dealing with XML. You're passing potentially 11 to 20 megabytes of XML per feed sometimes.
Yeah, crazy.
And so you can easily end up with, if you pull too many feeds at once,
that's the variable. With gigabytes and gigabytes of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. You could hand party time 5 gigs of XML data to deal with, and it can't fit it in memory. So it just self adjusts as it goes until it finds the happy place for each aggregator. And some aggregators are running right now at 250 to 300 feeds. Some are averaging 150 feeds per pull, and it just happens to be whatever mix that they're comfortable with. But each one is maximized. I mean, like they're almost, you know, they're going full bore all the time.
I love this new metric, FPP.
What is FPP?
Feeds per pull.
Feeds per pull. Yeah. We
need a speedometer. We need a speedometer on the index homepage. Fees per pull. How many FPP we running, bro?
Let's see. What is that? Let's see. This is about, I think we're averaging about 200
FPP.
We're probably about 2,000 feeds pulled per minute.
Wow.
Per minute. And that's prioritized for, you know, those different factors that I was talking about.
And so when I hit Podping, do I move to the top of some stack? Do I have preference when I hit Podping, or do I have to wait in some queue?
Well, I mean, everything does get queued. I mean, it has to.
Yeah.
But the first thing that all the aggregators do is try to pull, immediately parse feeds that have been podpinged. Because the podping notices and the web sub notifications, all that stuff goes into one batch. And so it pulls all that, and we automatically recheck value for value enabled feeds every 30 minutes anyway.
Oh, very cool. Oh, so there's almost 15,000 feeds that get prioritized.
Yeah. And so those nice. Get run through every 30 minutes, regardless of whether they, and it's not a real burden because we're doing, what do you call it? Like an e-tag and
to make sure it's
modified header checking.
Yeah. Make sure it's updated. Otherwise you don't pull it in.
Yeah. So I mean, it's just a quick check and we get a 304 and it doesn't cost us anything to do that.
Wow.
But yeah, no, it's working.
That's
great.
So cool, man. Thank you. On behalf of the entire board of Podcasting 2.0, thank you for your courage. Thank you for the work you're doing. It's appreciated and it's mystifying. It's overwhelming and it's also just baffling. It's like, and it's impressive. It's impressive. And you have a full-time job. I want to point out, I mean, does your family still live with you? Do you know if they're still around?
Yes. They still came back. They left, but they came back. Yes.
They went away to Europe and came back and you didn't even realize.
They went out, my wife and daughter went out of town and, that's why I guess such good coding this weekend because right. They're all gone.
I was like, wow, man, Dave's spending his whole weekend doing this. Okay. Now I got it. Did you actually feed the cat or did you just left the cat on the desk the whole weekend?
No, he'll be fine.
Okay.
Water's all they need.
Wow. Well, breaking news, just to change topic here for a second. As the podcast industrial complex continues to crumble, Spotify is racist. Let's get that out of the way. Oh, yeah.
What did they do this time?
Spurlock posted a Bloomberg article, which he also gave me.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, Jemele Hill to leave Spotify and shut down her podcast network, at least on Spotify. And this was a big deal. You know, they brought her in and let her start her own podcast network for black podcasters. Mm-hmm. And here's how Bloomberg reads. Another prominent podcaster is leaving Spotify as the company reverses many of its biggest investments in original audio and loses yet another black voice.
Yet who was the other one?
The other one was
the Budden guy,
Duvernay.
Well, I don't know who that is.
Let me see if Duvernay, if the article says this, filmmaker. Okay. So what happened? This is all, Don Ostroff's legacy, you know, spending more than $1 billion to acquire studios and exclusive licenses. And she's signed to much fanfare several black celebrities to exclusive deals, including the Obamas, of course, their production company, Higher Ground, filmmaker Ava DuVernay, and rapper Joe Budden. And DuVernay, she left, when Joe Rogan was, when they created the super clip of Joe Rogan using the N-word.
Oh, I didn't really. Okay, so that was that. All right.
And so she just left because they wouldn't do anything. But I think the really scandalous thing, and this, you know, these are Swedes, so they're probably not as sensitive as they should be to how cancel culture works in America. Mm-hmm. When all this happened, then Jemele Hill, and she's famous, you know, she was ESPN. I think she got fired from ESPN for being just insane. She said,
that's a good reason to fire somebody, by the way.
So she issued a statement saying, you know, we need to have Spotify paying $100 million to a black person, which at the time was what Rogan's deal was reported to be. Although, of course, we know it's probably much more. Mm-hmm. And so what they did is they eventually created the Creator Equity Fund, which would be $100 million. And they pretty much didn't spend any of that, as far as I know.
Yet another example of Spotify announcing something, but never actually doing it.
Exactly. So I don't know what she's going to do, but I think in general, the problem is Spotify can't afford to do this anymore.
I don't think anybody can afford to do this anymore based on the news from the past week with all the women's podcast conferences that are not getting funding. All of the identity groups within podcasting that have been funded during the good times.
Yep.
All the money is going away. And you see that the people who like virtue signaled that they were on board with these groups, they're all just yanking it back.
Yep.
They're taking the money back.
And I think the conferences really, I think as far as I understand that business really need the sponsors. And yeah. I don't think the She Conference got any sponsors. And I wish that they had just said, we didn't have enough people to attend, you know, to make it work. That, you know, because it's a very sad story.
Yeah.
But, you know, the conference business is not easy. It's not an easy thing to do.
You have to, like, if I understand it correctly, you have to, like, pre-agree or maybe even prepay in advance for, like, concessions.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff. You got to reserve stuff. You got to reserve stuff. Yeah.
The only thing I didn't understand about that story was, like, where it said one of the ladies involved said that she had taken out a $50,000 loan personally in order to cover or something. Yeah. And I was like, but, which is fine, but I don't know, what would you be getting a loan against? What's the collateral?
You can get money, you know, at a crazy rate or whatever. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to do that.
I mean, like, I'm just saying, I hope she didn't put her house up for the
next place. No, that'd be horrible. But this is what was expected to happen once the free money train was over. We predicted this quite clearly. But there's other stuff. It's very interesting to hear how there's a lot of pushback now, and as people realize YouTube is a bad actor. Oh no, what? Who expected that? You know, everyone got so excited about Facebook and, you know, and all these companies promising stuff, and they never come through. But YouTube, which is a Google property, is of particular interest because they have a history of ruining RSS projects, specifically Reader. You know, that really just crashed an entire software category. You know, there were lots of, I mean, if you didn't use an independent application, you could use Google Reader on Google, and they just shut it down with some bull crap thing. Oh, people aren't using it. And they started their social network because they really couldn't control it. And, you know, now that I'm hearing that I'm hearing from a good source, at least one hosting company will be cooperating with YouTube. You know, I have to just say again, this is a very bad idea. You are putting the entire podcast infrastructure at risk because it's always a race to the bottom in the hosting business. You know, and by that I mean, everyone's doing DAI in inserting ads. So I think that the CPM and the actual value of that that's just going straight down. It always does. That's how it works. Supply, demand. Yeah, race to the bottom. But, you know, when, like, right now, AI is the hot thing. I was talking about AI. I use AI, and Buzzsprout has implemented AI, and that's fine. I think the more I look at artificial intelligence compared to the hype of blockchain, which lasted for a good 5-6 years there, in general, AI is good for the economy because everyone hypes it up and y'all got to have it. And everyone starts sticking it into their company name and, you know, money flows and people start using it and there's excitement, but the AI winter is coming. But you know, what happens is one company does it. Then everybody, I just listened to, Pod News Weekly Review. You know, it's like, are you guys doing AI? Yeah. Are you guys going to do YouTube? Yeah. We're going to don't. And we have such a, you know, we cannot compete with Google's ad insertion, but we certainly can not help them out. And we do have other really cool things that we can, you know, okay, so we're finally kind of everyone getting transcripts going and chapters. We have value for value, which is, you know, it completely different from the advertising game. Build this out and promote that more. And I just don't think that people who are either podcasting now or starting a podcast are all like, oh, I need to have artificial intelligence do my show notes. I just don't believe it. It's a marketing thing. It's used for new customers. That's my experience guess.
So, you know, in the tax industry, which is my day job, we've been through this cycle many, many times. If you go back to 2017, 2019, and you go to a tax conference, tech software conference or something like that, you're going, you would have heard, and I did, you would have heard keynote talk after keynote talk after breakout session after breakout session about blockchain and machine learning and AI. This was 6, 7, 8 years ago.
It's the future, and, man. Forget about Bitcoin. The technology of blockchain is very interesting. It's the future.
Yeah, and voice assistants. That was the other one. You know?
Yeah, voice assistants. Yeah, all right, baby.
There's this great article from about 5 years ago that was written in an industry magazine that was like, the typical tax professional, here's what life is going to look like 10 years from now.
Yeah.
Your tax professional, Jane, she wakes up in the morning and she immediately asks her voice assistant, "Hey, voice assistant, what do I have on my calendar today?" And the voice assistant says, "Oh, hello, good morning, Jane. You have 3 appointments today, one with, this client and this client and this client." And she says, "Oh, what is the first one about?" And it's like, "Oh, this client wants to talk to you about their new business strategy that they're contemplating." And Jane replies to the voice assistant, "Oh, can you run an analysis of what this type of tax situation looks like in the state of New York? Here you go, Jane." It's like,
Star Trek shit. Yeah.
And it's bullcrap. And so she like, but this whole article was about doom and gloom. Like, hey, the tax industry is going to be destroyed by this new technology.
Oh, yeah.
And like, we've been through this many, many times before. And this is just the reality of all of these things is way more mundane than all of that. Like when it I wrote an article for an industry trade magazine back in 2019 about this very subject, that the reality of the way that things like this, new technologies, come into widespread use within industry is, they come in through by being baked into the tools you already use. Mm. And so I think Buzzsprout is a great example. So their tool lets you automatically generate chapter markers. That's one of the things it does. Hey, that's a great idea. Because now people who didn't want to take the extra time to create chapters, now they get it. They essentially get it. I know it costs, but they get it, quote unquote, for free. So Podcasting 2.0 gets, more feature, this is a new Podcasting 2.0 enabled podcast that wouldn't have before because the person didn't want to bother with it.
I do want to point out that Hypercatcher has had this capability to create chapters automatically for, 2 years.
Probably based off the transcript.
Yeah, of course. But you call it AI and it's cool. So that's fine. Yeah. That's fine.
That's the way that large language model technology will make its way into
now
everyday use. And it's mundane stuff like that. I mean, it's stuff that just is a slight tweak to your already existing process.
But I just have to point out again, I love Dreb Scott's choices. I love Dreb Scott's choice of imagery. I love what he does. It's talent. It's pure human talent. Like, oh, this is a great chapter based upon factors that AI can't even fathom right now. Can't even take into account.
The AI thing is such, and again, we had a conversation at the office about this very thing this morning. The AI thing is just such a tech industry, they are intentionally miscommunicating what this thing is.
Agreed. And it's all for money. It's all to get money rolling.
I've got a couple of clips.
We haven't had a clip in a while from you, Mr. Jones.
One of which is Paul Theriot explaining what, and I would say that Microsoft is probably the biggest culprit in all this bullcrap.
It's running on a lot of their Azure servers. This is what this week in Windows, or this week in Microsoft, or is that what this is from?
Windows Weekly.
Weekly. That's what I meant.
And so he is explaining here in clip one, he's explaining what this really is all about is the stock price.
We've had this discussion. in the past about, and I've kind of evolved it over time, but I believe that AI came out of Microsoft at this point in time, specifically because of the market cap and the stock price. And they're a bit, they needed something to goose that because, you know, Azure revenue growth was 70, 70, 70, 60, 40, and it was 27% in the last quarter. And they what they didn't want was Wall Street to suddenly react and say, oh my God, what's going on with this company? They used to be on the leading edge and now they're Oldsmobile again. And so I think AI puts them back up in the perception.
Absolutely.
That helps the stock price.
Absolutely.
Oh man, I'm using that clip for no agenda. Thank you. Good clip. Yeah. Totally. And they were indeed the ones who first came out. But then it got all twisted by the PR people, also known as propagandists. Mm-hmm. And it got turned into, this is the future. And that's when Google had to come up with BARF and all that other stuff.
It's funny that you mentioned the PR, the marketing people, because clip two of this sequence is about the marketing guy at Microsoft and what he, you know, and the email that he sent out internally about, and if you, I don't know, this is in the context of Microsoft said, I think it was maybe a month ago or a couple of months ago, they told all their employees that they're basically not going to get a raise this year. Nobody's, all the bonuses are going to be tiny. Nobody's getting a raise. Basically everything's, all their pay is frozen. Mm. And so that's clip two is what that all is about.
Chris Cappicella, our friend, got in a lot of trouble recently because an internal email he had written in response to employees complaining about compensation and not getting raises went public. And what he wrote was, he's like, guys, look, there's nothing, you know, like he doesn't control their raises, by the way. He's the chief marketing officer. But he said, look, this is very plain language. If you want to be compensated better, you need to make sure that you're doing something to positively impact Microsoft stock price. And what he meant by that was AI. Like, you mm-hmm. need to make sure that you're at it. That your job is to put AI into whatever your product is. And my God, people went after him like he was like the Antichrist or something. But what he's really doing is just kind of parroting the internal emails that Microsoft executives were sending out last year saying, guys, we are doing AI. You need to wrap your heads around this and you need to get on board because this is happening.
Oh, man, I can't even imagine the support nightmare that's going to happen for IT departments when the AI gets, you know, starts indexing all of your stuff and, you know, and not coming up with the right answers. And, oh, it's going to be horrible. And even just stopping it from indexing stuff, it's going to be horrible.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we you know, at our firm, we had to send, you know, send out a message saying, hey, you know, you can't use these tools. Right. Because I mean, that's proprietary information. You know, you can't just be handing this out to things as most companies are having to do now. Like there's all these moratoriums going out to everybody saying, hey, you can't submit our internal stuff. But I think this
chat
is like
GPT. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you're basically, that's like a manual data breach.
Yeah.
But we're, you know, I go back to what Peter Thiel said in, I think it's, you know, his sort of famous saying in 2013, you know, as we were promised flying cars and what we got was 140 characters.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true. I mean, there is a technological innovation. I think his term was deceleration that's happening. Mm. All the big monster advancements have already been done. None of those left that we know of. And what they're trying to do now is all about trying to just get every last cent out of the market before this whole thing just falls.
So let's be different. I want to take this back to YouTube. I'm making a plea to all hosting companies to not participate in the YouTube RSS ingestion, even if your customers ask for it. If we stand strong, then if everyone says, no, we're just not, as an industry, we're not doing that. This would be the one thing we could do, which would send a very, very strong message to the world. Now, do I think that will happen? No, I'm pretty sure at least one company will do this, and that will make everyone or almost everyone feel they need to do this. So the minute that happens, I am going to start a counter initiative. I am. And this is based,
I believe you.
Yeah, and this is based on my fantastic experience with Start OS. Right now, no, this is the Start 9, which I would say Umbral is just like that, only Start 9 doesn't string Dockers together. It built an OS for this stuff. And it and you really don't, I have not seen a command line yet. So it kind of works quite well. And it's stable, and you know, they do have a, you know, it's a very cool box. I mean, it's not done yet, and there's all kinds of things they need to do, and you need to access it either locally or on Tor, you know, all this stuff. But Helipad is running on it beautifully, stable. The new version also, by the way, the one that has the stream as well as the boost.
Oh, the one out of the GitHub?
Yep.
Off the Okay.
Yeah, okay. It's been packaged up.
I don't even have an image for that yet.
It's in the App Store. It's in the Start 9 application store or whatever they call it there. IPFS podcasting in there works. It will be an official app soon. I would like to see a big plea to our French brothers. Castapod will be beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just why are you going,
No, I said, yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, that because I could never, it was very hard to get Castapod running. I bundle that up in their app system. I think that would be a great app to have. And the companies on board that really want to support.
PeerTube.
Thank you. The next one. And here's the question I had. Is there a way? I mean, I guess you can have alternate enclosure with IPFS. Mm-hmm. Which, of course, would require for it to work properly, the apps to add IPFS knowledge into their apps, which may not be trivial. I'm not sure. But let's just say you have pinning server. I mean, the initiative I would want to start is here's your sovereign podcasting stack. And and I would start. You don't have to buy Start 9. You can load Start 9 on your old hardware. Do whatever you want. You know, just like Umbral. Here's your stack, and the distribution works through IPFS. And here's these IPFS like exit nodes, if you know, for HTTP access to the files. And my initiative would require that anyone who uses this uses value for value. And that there's a upfront sharing of sats for anyone who's running one of these nodes. Now, I don't want to go down the Filecoin route and all that. And this is just coming together in my head. But if we start giving our shit to YouTube, the end is in sight. And with that, I mean the end of hosting companies. Because once these guys see some money, they're going to take it. They'll take whatever they can. They will take it away from you and they'll hide. It's a literal hijack. And so the only way I know how to do it is to resort to this. And I think that this initiative could work if we really thought about it. But I'm we've had this IPFS podcasting works. It works. You load up the app or you load it on. I have two nodes now running on Umbral, one on Start OS, and you know, you can get these files and we have, you know, nodes all over the world. It works and people are using it, very few. I have a feeling that that type of initiative will be needed as a backup plan. Because we just can't count on commercial hosting companies to stay solid.
The only thing I can is here's my initial thought is You said if they see, you said if YouTube starts to see the money,
yeah,
you know, that's when they'll. The only thing I can think of here is that there's just not that much money. That it's not worth their time.
Well, no, they have a very well established advertising business. It may not be as big as it was a year and a half ago, but it's still a huge behemoth. There's billions of dollars a quarter. And, you know, and they can insert anything they want to. They have the market on advertising. And that's literally the thing that they're not allowing you to do is upload ads. So it's very obvious where they see the money. They won't charge you. But that's what it's, I mean, it's going to be just like Spotify, which is now, of course, you know, we've now lived with it for how many years have we lived with Spotify podcasting? It's falling apart. They've turned racist. You know, all this stuff is happening. When, hey, listen, when you turn racist, which of course they're not, but they're going to be deemed racist. You know, they're being canceled. Spotify is being canceled. And YouTube will slip right in and say, oh, we can do it better. You watch.
The there's I don't know if you saw that other article about how it's like it's June and Spotify and Gimlet and Ringer and all the Spotify owned networks still don't have their budgets for the year.
No, of course not. I haven't seen like, this article. I didn't see the article.
Yeah, that thing's, I mean, like it's, there's a lot of hand wringing going on within the Spotify production companies. This whole thing, the reason I said that about YouTube's, like about the amount of money, this, then I don't know if you've been sort of kind of keeping track of this, but the numbers that are reported within the podcast industry as far as revenues go, they've always been, let's just say, sus, but...
Sus?
Yeah, suspect.
Oh.
But, yeah. This
hello, the, Millennial
this
Dave.
Young, this is what the young kids
is this
say.
Millennial Dave speaking?
Yeah. I hired a guy recently who's who's like a 25 or something like that, so I'm picking up the lingo.
Sus. Very sus, but, babe. Sketch.
Yeah, I'm starting to say cringe a lot.
Oh,
yeah, I'm
sorry. No. Oh, this is so bad.
But they've always been a little sus, but now at the point, this point, they're all over the map. Mm. I mean, you see IAB, I think it is reporting like $1.8 billion in the podcasting, you know, industry. And then you'll have some people saying, here's this Magellan AI report, which I always look at, which I think is great.
for comedy purposes? Is this why you look at it?
Yes, for comedy, yes. So supposedly, the podcast industrial complex is worth $1.8 billion. That's what we've been being told. One of the key findings of the Magellan AI report was that podcast ad spending in quarter four increased 23%.
Yeah, year over year.
Yeah, no, it says quarter over quarter.
Oh, quarter over quarter. Okay.
Yeah. So at $1.8 billion a year, you're telling me that podcast ad spending went up like $400 million in a quarter? Give me a break.
No.
I mean, this is what we call horse manure.
Yeah. And I think the baseline number, $1.8 billion, it includes, probably includes Sirius XM's, you know, portion of revenue from, you know, the quote unquote satellite radio, iHeart from their radio stations. It's, and they don't really have numbers. I don't think they have the actual numbers. Not everyone reports numbers. So, yeah, it's just whatever. I'm not seeing it.
I bet you the total revenue of podcast advertising. Total global, I mean, like worldwide, a real number is probably a few hundred million. And that's just not anything for, I mean, YouTube, that's chump change. It's chump change.
Well,
I mean, like look at TikTok. So TikTok,
now you're talking, that's where the real money is.
And this is fun. This is a good article. So if you, I think you should read it.
But you're kind of taking away the reason for my whole initiative now. I'm not sure I like it.
Go ahead. No, I retract.
No, I mean, now you're saying there's no money at all. I mean, look.
Yeah. All right, Joe.
It just bugs me. This is the one thing that is distributed in podcasting, has done so well, and I'm worried. And in general, I'm worried about the health of these companies. I don't know if all of them will survive. You know, we're not seeing, I'm convinced we're not seeing new podcasters. You know, it's not like the industry is growing with more podcasters. Just isn't. I mean, we can see that. We're not seeing an incredible increase in new shows being created. So, you know, it's like, it just as we say in the old country, I can feel it on my water. My water is telling me this is, we're in a little bit of a precarious situation. We've got, you know, people investing into this YouTube thing, like they invested into Facebook and God knows, and Spotify, for podcasters. I mean, what do you think that means? That's literally your competitor you helped build there.
I know. I think, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I do. And I think your instinct, I mean, I feel your instincts are right, because the podcast hosting, the podcast hosting concept of just, you know, pay a monthly fee and we host all your stuff and make it easy for you to create content. That's a good business.
Yeah.
That's a good, solid, like not scammy business. You provide a service and you get that service for a reasonable price. Like if what happens is YouTube just sees that it's so easy to scam, to confiscate that entire business
for free. Remember, you're giving people hosting. All they have to do, all YouTube has to do is say, hey, you know what? What are you paying over there at, and they know your email address. They know who you are. What are you paying over there at hosting company X? You know, we're going to now provide RSS feeds. So why would you be over there when you get us, you get our marketing, you get our placement, you get our promotion, you get our ads, and here's an RSS feed. And then all of a sudden they'll say, for those legacy apps.
And you don't even have to. Yeah, that's a good point about the legacy apps. And you don't. In that scenario, you wouldn't even have to import your feed because they've already got
They already got it. They just turn around and say, you know what? Instead of uploading there, just like the cell phone business, you know, we're going to give you $20 to come over here.
Yeah.
Here, come over here for 20. Here's a bonus for $20. And all you have to do is, instead of going over there, just upload your stuff here. And now we have RSS feeds for you.
If Anchor can run 5 million podcast RSS feeds at a loss and still survive for years and years,
YouTube can as well.
YouTube can do it in their sleep.
And YouTube would have no problem down the line saying, hey, you got to pay $1 a month or whatever. It's such an obvious trap. And if one big podcast host goes for it, everybody's going to have to go for it, because that's the nature of the business. You're co-opetition. So anyway, so
You're convincing me. You weave a convincing tale.
Now, and meanwhile, this is happening at a very exciting moment in podcasting, where we now have figured out how to recreate a music industry without the legacy of performing rights organizations, record labels, without Spotify. In fact, we are proving that people who use our system with a very small audience right now, which is, what do we have? We're Spurlock. What is podcasting 2.0? What is our supposed audience? Do you have the numbers in front of you?
You mean like our
podcasting 2.0? Yeah. Was it 8,000 maybe tops?
I can look it up.
Yeah, look it up. If it's even that. A very small audience, and we own the Wave Lake top five.
Are you going to play music?
Yes, I am, of course.
Because I sensed that this was the direction you were going.
Yes, it's called the setup.
And I felt it. And I need to take this opportunity to launch my WebSocket listener. Because I want to watch.
Ah, yes, of course. You want to watch WebSocket. You set up your own WebSocket listener. God knows why, but you set one up. What do you do with this WebSocket listener?
Well, I want to watch what Stephen B is sending in the live.
All right. Can you do both at the same time? Can you take a look at our audience size first?
Let me find the live,
because people are getting $100-$200
here we go
for just being played on this show. Now granted, we have a community who's interested in this and they're supporting the whole system. By the way, as I'm leading up to this, please make sure that you're using CurioCaster or PodFriend, currently the only two apps that support this, who also benefit from these tests. I mean, I see some nice baller boosts going to these artists, to these musicians, which is, again, part of value for value. It really does work. And it far surpasses anything these artists, these musicians, these creators have ever gotten from Spotify. All they get is some stats. They get some stats, you know, that don't even hit the payout level. By the way, I tried boosting on PodFriend, and I don't think it went through to the artist. I don't know if that was, I don't know if that was something's broken or not, but I'm just going to presume that it's working. So you will want to either re-listen to this episode, or you want to listen to this part of this episode to support the test, because the test, what this test is resulting in is I now have 10 emails a day of people saying, hey, I heard from this guy, from that guy.
They go, hey,
yeah, hey, hey, look, listen, I heard from this guy over there and from that guy that, you know, if you play my song, that it pays off, that people support it. And I'm getting friends of friends. I got a recommendation today, which I'm going to play, from Stephen B.
Which, oh, I saw that one. Which, yeah, I haven't listened yet, though.
Oh, you're going to love it. Which started out on MSP, self-hosted. I believe it's now also been added to Wavelake, which I love, you know, because Wavelake, Dystopia, the two that do it for sure. Now you can also add it directly to the index with the Medium equals Music tag, if you know what you're doing. But I would say musicsideproject.com is a good place to start for that, to get it all set up. And then you can get your value block through podcasterwallet.com or through Fountain. You know, we need more people to jump in and create these systems for musicians. And I'm not sure what Wavelake is doing. I don't see a lot of development there. We certainly don't have any music-specific players. But I'm okay with that, because I'm bringing back music radio. That's my plan. You know, I want
people. We had 9,421 unique listeners in May.
So that results in a couple hundred bucks for a song played once, which is more than, you know, than a song streaming thousands of times on Spotify.
Straight up.
It's just math.
It's good math.
It's good math. Is your WebSocket listener up and running? Are you good there?
It is. I'm listening. Okay. You'd be amazed at how many things I'm doing at once.
Well, same here, because I had to activate the remote value block. Doing that in Sovereign Feeds, definitely the way to go if you're running with scissors. Now, this is a little different for one of those quote-unquote independent songs. Has a very nice Motown kind of vibe to it. A nice one to chill out on your Friday afternoon in your board meeting with a late-night special. It sounds like a bummer, but it's not. The Sunshine Never Comes, a podcasting 2.0.
The sunshine never comes. Oh, yeah, the sunshine never comes. Oh, yeah, the sunshine never comes. Until it's rained and you know it poured. Bless your heart. Life is cold. You got a little rhythm that they need to know. Test your love. Sing these words. Put them in your pocket and show them what you're worth. Rest your heart and feed your soul. Got a little riddle that they need to know. The sunshine never comes. Oh yeah, the sunshine never comes. Oh yeah, the sunshine never comes until it's rained. On. Stepping past the struggle when you're on your own. Bless your heart, feed your soul. We got a little rhythm that they need to know. The sunshine never comes. Oh yeah, the sunshine never comes. Oh yeah, the sunshine never comes. Until it's rained. Oh,
that? You know, it's so
that
perfect.
Was so mellow, man. Yeah, yeah. I kind of was just, I almost started coding here.
Well, I have a, for our end of show, we'll do a song as well. Like a Blink 182 type vibe. So,
oh, cool.
Okay. Yeah, so right. Just to really rock you into the weekend. And of course, once again, I request from all developers, they consider putting in the remote value block item tag thingamabob. What's it called? The time split? Split time value?
Value time split.
Value time split. Please. Oscar said he's putting it into Fountain within the month of June. And the minute he does, we're going to have him on to talk about that and other things. Nice. And I just love this. I love this. I love this. I love this. This is going to create a whole new industry.
So are you hitting, I'm watching the socket here. Are you hitting the, some sort of like sync? Are you having to sync it or tell it when the song is over?
Yes.
Or like you have to do something manual. To
yes.
Show it,
yes.
Like,
yes. Okay. Yeah. So, the process here, there's a whole dashboard under value and time splits on Sovereign Feed, sovereignfeed.com. And so when I start the show, I hit the general synchronize button with the show. You don't have to, but it just makes it easier in post-production. And then the minute I start the song, I hit the sync button. So I've already loaded up the two songs I'm playing for today. Cause you actually load them up, in Sovereign Feeds because you can see all the albums that are available, all the artists, and you search and you select and you say, okay, this is the song I want. Pops it into your little playlist there. And then the minute you hit, your play button, you sync it up so that, in post-production, you can easily find where the song starts. It'll only be a couple seconds off. Right. And then when the song ends, I hit the big red button that says, activate podcaster's value block. And that, nice. And that switches the wallet back and the artwork back, I believe.
Okay.
It's quite simple to comprehend and quite easy to use. And then when I go to post production, I can literally copy over the value block. I mean, the whole thing works. Sovereignfeeds.com is my Swiss Army knife of feed creation, telling you right now.
Well, so this kind of heads us in the direction of talking about GUIDs because remote value, value time split. It relies on remote item, which references a GUID as its primary way of finding a podcast.
Right.
And
hit it, rip it.
had a good conversation with Brian of London the other day. He called and we just talked through GUIDs and everything. And he was like, I think I want to make a service that you can run yourself. Like anybody can run it. Yeah, part of helping to decentralize the services away from Podcast Index, so we don't have to host the whole world. And he was like, "This resolution piece feels like a good way to do that. Like this feels when you're talking about resolving things, it's a good that's a good decentralization method, sort of like DNS. So, and he described it to me. He's like, I think I can just suck down the weekly database from Podcast Index." And load it up in this Docker container app, and then we can just have multiple resolvers. You can run it for $5 on a Linode.
And right. This is just something that everybody can run one, and then we'll have some kind of round robin system that you ping a central resource, and it sends you to the next one on the list.
Yeah. So that was kind of like phase. So sort of phase two of what I was thinking, like, get these things rolling and then anybody who wanted to participate, we could throw in just a round robin DNS resolver that gives you a random one on the back end.
Right.
So that it's load balancing itself through DNS. Just it's a simple method.
Sure.
And I mean, I think that's a nice idea. One thing we got to talk through is how to resolve. Well, there's a couple things. We have two general issues. One is GUID conflicts, And this fits into the larger idea of just duplicates in general. So we know that the idea of a podcast GUID is sound.
Right.
You know, the it's a decentralized idea that the podcast declares it within itself. And we decided early on that's not a problem, because when the in the case where another feed claims to have the same GUID as a different feed, then you will now you're it's not a problem because now you're letting the world know. You're letting the world know that I've done something wrong with my feed.
Right.
And so the world can tell you back, hey, go fix your feed.
Which is exactly, I had this exact problem. I had, because of a Sovereign Feeds issue, I had a duplicate GUID, and Spurlock said, hey, no.
Yeah.
And that's how it's supposed to work.
And we accept this sort of thing in lots of areas of networking technology. For instance, IP addresses.
And MAC address clashes, all kinds of stuff.
Clashes, yes. Yeah. Addressing clashes are common, and when you and the way that you resolve them is you get notified of them and you go fix it.
Right.
So this is not an issue. But that is not an issue. The issue is how do we resolve them? And I think this fits into the broader discussion of I need to provide tools to you primarily, but then other people within the Podcasting 2.0 project to help
adjust and fix these things, to cure these issues. Yes.
Yes. So here's my initial, let me just throw this out at you first, my sort of initial thoughts.
Is this a point of personal privilege for the board?
Yes, comrade. I would like to have a point of personal privilege.
Yes. Granted, comrade.
Okay. My initial thought was you need, as the main help desk for Podcast Index, you need a dashboard.
Yeah.
To log into that you can just go and do a couple of quick utility functions. Reset the feed, which clears it and pulls a fresh one.
Yep.
Or kills it to get all together. Like just those two tools alone, I think would solve 90% of your issues, right?
Maybe even 95. Yeah. It's always okay. Like, hey, you know, I did this, but it doesn't show up. So a complete refresh would be great. And get me out of your database. I have 15 versions of my feed. Yeah. All of this is really those two functions. Exactly.
Okay. So the first two things, the reset the feed from scratch and mark it as dead. Mm-hmm. Those two functions are simple. The third one of those, and those are ones that you get. The third one seems like the bigger issue. And here's what I thought on that. There needs to generally be a way that we can say, okay, these designated individuals get access to some sort of dashboard where you on request are given a batch of duplicate feeds. Wow. And then you can go through and resolve, like you can mark, okay, this one is a duplicate of this. Like, you can do the, you can fix it. You can fix up the issue. I don't know what necessarily the UI looks like that.
But this is a deduping task. Is that what this is? You can say, yeah, hey, I have an hour. Give me some dupes and I'll run through them and see what the problem is.
Yes.
It's called human intelligence.
Exactly. And we know that, let's see, there's a better word for that. Unanimously. So we know that there are only about 50,000 dupes in the database total. We had somebody run those numbers. And so if we had, an army of people watching the gates, so to speak, We could clean that up in no time.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, I got time. I could even ask Tina. Here, dedupe these.
Here's some homework.
Yeah, she'll do it. She'll do it. Lots of people will do that. Everyone will love participating in that. Absolutely.
And so I thought if we had it laid out all nice and clean, where you had, okay, here are what we think are, here's a podcast where we think there are the two extra duplicates. This one has an iTunes ID. This one does not. Here's what Apple reports back as the feed URL is. Here's what the latest Podbean was. Basically, just give a whole bunch of information so that somebody can make an intelligent decision, and then let them go in and say, okay, this is the right one. These other two are duplicates.
Right.
Just couple check boxes done.
And what is the reason that this cannot be automated? Why is it that a human needs to do this?
Because there's a lot of edge cases that happen.
Okay.
For instance, let me give you one. Many times you'll see a podcast where they have moved their feed from, let's just say, Acast over to Buzzsprout. And they did not go back and update their Apple Podcast Connect feed to point to the new URL. So it's still pointing to the old one. So the incorrect one now has an iTunes ID associated with it. The correct one does not. And we can't change the old one because we have to stay in sync. For feeds that have iTunes ID, we need to stay in sync with what Apple says because we have people like Marco that depend on that. If we start telling, and we don't know, I mean, we don't know which one is the new one because they did not change it. They didn't set a redirect. They've essentially just messed their feed up. And a human has to go in there and work through that and say, okay, this is what's going on. And so there's just issues like that. Sometimes it's a categories issue, like a WordPress. We don't. There might be.
How about this? I have a thought.
All right.
So clearly, there's a whole bunch of edge cases. Is it possible to hand off this process to people using apps? And so here's my thinking, because someone just said something in the chat room, which I liked, Midas. So if you hand it off to users of apps and you say for every correct deduping that you do, we'll give you 100 Satoshis. Now, when they do this, it doesn't necessarily delete anything or change anything database right away, but it creates a list that can then be looked at by someone who has the power and says, okay, good, 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 good. Or is that complicating things too much?
That's not complicating things too much. I think we would still have to have some sort of approval process
Right, but the approval process would be, you know, a trusted person, but you basically say, hey, help the index, and because people find this stuff all the time. And you can actually say, hey, use this app and we'll give you a reward. Is that a crazy thought?
No, not a crazy thought. I'm just thinking through you really need two layers of sort of validation on that. You would want you would want a small group of people that could approve a change.
Correct.
And then you would want a slightly larger group of people that were still had to be given the approval or the rights to get into this ability to.
Okay. Maybe I'm gamifying it too early. Maybe it's not something that should be gamified.
Well, the reason being is that you're just going to get, the potential there is to just get blown up.
Okay.
I mean, with, I gotcha. You know, 10,000 requests a day. I mean, like, it's just somebody's going to write a bot on it and you're just going to get screwed.
I got you. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm just saying that I'm sure that there's a group of five people I can think of right now who'd be happy to do this work. Maybe we can have trusted people who use their apps to do this. I'm just thinking ahead. But I understand what you're saying. And what do we need to get this done?
Yeah. So I think bottom line is we have a strategy now for the GUID stuff with what Brian has made. And I think it fits with what I had originally developed. I think those fit together pretty nicely. And so then now really it's all about just making sure the data is clean. I think that's our biggest thing right now, because the GUIDs will work now as long as we have clean data, where we don't have these dupes. So cool. I think that's kind of an important next step I need to take, because you need these. I need these things. Yeah. Like, I need a dashboard to fix this stuff. I'm manually changing things in the database. This is not fun.
I saw when I was watching your screencast, your dude named Bencast. I saw all those little PHP scripts you had on the left-hand side. I'm like, oh, look at all that cool stuff. You can run a PHP script. It does that. It does that. You had all these cool little things that you could do. You have some tools, but I'm like, just give me some. Give me some tools. Let me play with the tools, man.
I don't want to have to SSH into a server in order to run a script called, clean these duplicates.php.
Exactly.
You know, this is not
exactly.
cool.
Exactly. Okay. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, we have a way forward. Yeah. And I don't think this is hard to write, because it doesn't have to be beautiful. It just has to be functional.
I'm all in. You tell me. Okay. I mean, I know you well enough. I know what you're doing. You're busy. I'm not going to keep saying, hey, man, give me some tools. Give me some tools.
Well, it bothers me too, because people want to help. People are asking to help. Yeah. And I don't have anything to give them. And so I need to be able to give them something.
Well, why don't you just wipe your slate clean?
And it's clean.
Okay.
Done.
Done. We love it. We love it. I wanted to just make note for everybody that we did have a situation, which luckily, of course, was not a big problem, but Albie went down for a little bit there the other day. And, you see the result of a centralized system. Mm-hmm. There are other fallbacks possible. There are other other Lightning service providers out there. I just want to remind everybody, you got to be careful. I guess that's all I wanted to say. I love Albie. I love what getalbie.com. I love what they're doing. But this, what are you laughing at?
I'm sorry. Just Stephen B said in the chat.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Boy, man, do you talk to your wife that way, Stephen B?
Yeah. Do you kiss your mama with that mouth?
Let's just make sure we're all smart about these things, especially for podcasters. There's still things you may want to consider to have alternates. By the way, I'm also running because I have helipad. I'm running my Lightning node on the Start OS. It's stable, man. It's stable. I mean, I have to nurse my Umbral all the time. And this thing is just, I've set it up and it's just run since the day I set it up and it's not been a problem.
Oh, and is it using LND?
Yeah, you can use multiple ones. I'm using LND. It has multiple Lightning implementations you can use.
Have you ever used C Lightning?
No. No.
I'm kind of itching to try it.
No. You need to build tools first. You need to build tools first.
I know. Thank you. Yes, this is one of your functions here.
Stop. And with that, I also want to thank Todd Cochran for a fun idea that Blueberry is doing, podcasting 2.0 badge.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, that is rewarded when a podcaster uses 5 2.0 features. Which is kind of what I thought the podcast standards project will be doing. I like that that Todd has taken the lead on this. This is good. This is a good thing to do. And it's a cool logo. They got, it's a cool badge.
I'm a sucker for badges.
Me too. I love badges. Yeah. Badges are very cool. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
We want to do some hot namespace talk.
Just one other thing before we do the hot namespace talk.
Yeah. Okay.
I learned a lot about the Fountain transcripts. So indeed, once one person has created the transcript, no one else has to pay for it. It's just available. And I saw a request come through that said, hey, once a transcript's created, it'd be great if the podcaster could I think Comics or Blogger said this. The podcaster can download an SRT file, put it into their feed, and then use it for other apps. I thought, wow. Mm-hmm. And Oscar was like, yeah, it's a great idea. And I thought, you know, that's cool. That's some collaboration right there. That was very beautiful, beautiful to see that happening. And then, of course, I realized fountain transcripts are very, very fast. What they aren't doing is they aren't doing speakers. You know who the who the speaker is. So I don't know if that adds a lot of if that adds a lot of processing time to creating the transcript. But that would be a prerequisite. I mean, I would look. I pay $20 a month to Otter. If I can get my transcripts from Fountain, I'll pay Fountain $20. But I do I do need speaker names. So I'm just saying, you know, there's a lot of opportunity here. A lot of opportunity.
Yeah, you need speaker names because that, like,
for we need it for Martin. Like, we just need it for Martin. Pod friend. Let's be honest. The cartoon bubbles are cool as crap. I love that.
Yeah, because that thing's beautiful. Once you see it, you don't ever want to not have it.
No, you're looking at your app while you're listening, like, oh, there's Dave, there's Adam, there's Dave, there's Adam, there's Dave, there's Adam.
We got Martin on the show next week, by the way. So we're
cool.
And Pod Friend 2.0.
Yeah, and he's going through his app cycle now, which is always fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I have high hopes for him. High hopes.
I think you're right. That's kind of a.
And we have a new rule. We have a new rule for guests. New rule. What is it? Guests get to choose the song we play.
Oh. Yeah, I like that rule. Of course. That's a good rule.
New rule. So Martin, choose a song. Of course, it has to be 2.0 enabled.
Choose wisely.
Choose wisely, my friend. Exactly.
And now it's time for some hot namespace talk.
Closed phase six. So that one's no more tag proposals submitting is allowed. We've got, let's see here. It looks like we've got six tags. Is that right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 tags. Remote item.
Yep.
This is frozen now. We may ditch some tags, but we're not going to add anymore.
Iced. Phase six is iced. You can't change it. No melting. It's iced.
Yep. It's on ice. And so remote. We got remote item, which is. Straightforward. It's already written up. We got list, the list mediums. That's easy. That's just an addendum. The accepts guest. I've got a question mark on that. Pod roll. That's already written up. That's good to go. Update frequency. Nathan Gathright did a PR for that I've got to merge, but that one's, I've just got to review it. I'm sure. I mean, he's top notch, so I'm sure that one's fine.
Nice.
Podping tag is something that Alex and Brian and anybody who uses Podping needs, because it's got metadata in there for how the feed interacts with Podping.
Mm-hmm.
And then the value time split.
So, nice. Yeah, good. That's a good phase.
That's a good batch. And so I think accepts guests is the only one I've got concerns about. I think we may just need to boot that because I still don't know that has to be its own tag.
Mm.
To me, it's like a gimme.
It's like a gimme that people want. I mean, you know, it's for people who don't have. I mean, I get email. It's just, you want less email? Okay, well, why don't you just, you know, what we need is the list of all these people, all these PR people who email podcasters, and then put them in your spam list.
Yeah.
Or write a rule. I mean, I don't mind it. You know, people ask me all the time, I got this great person for this guest. Now, of course, I don't take guests on No Agenda or any of my other shows, but it doesn't bother me that much. You know,
I guess my difficulty with this specific tag is that it's a lot of tag for only one small purpose. And I understand that you have, there's other tags that fit into the same category. So let's just say.
How about this? I have an idea. Okay.
All right.
Can't we just have some kind of API endpoint that looks and it sees if there's a guest in the person tag that spits out a list of here's everything, and then people can use that list and spam them?
It's a spam list on demand.
That's what it's going to get used for. I mean, you know, it's like, I don't know.
That's a pretty good idea, by the way.
Yeah, just a thought. Make that available to PR people.
Well, use AI. Use ChatGPT to analyze it.
There it is. ChatGPT. Everything we don't want to do, you can use ChatGPT for that.
Yes. Can I just say that? If large language models are this good, why do we still have transcripts that are inaccurate?
Why do I still have spam?
Exactly.
Why do fools fall in love? Be honest about it. ChatGPT should be able to fix that. They should know. This lady is not compatible with you.
The one thing that is in the large language model wheelhouse is grammatical and linguistic structure. Is I know what words make sense coming before and after this word or before and after this phrase. I should never have a bad transcript ever again.
No, of course ever. Not. Of course not. And obviously we do.
So something's got to give. Anyway.
I agree with you. I agree.
Somebody's lying.
Yep. Something's up.
So I don't know. I think we should just boot accepts guests for now.
Okay.
I don't think anybody's feelings are going to be hurt by this. I mean, like James proposed it, but I don't get the sense that he's like, it's a hill he's going to die on.
But Pod Roll is in there. No,
it is. Yeah.
Okay.
It's in there.
Pod Roll is good.
James, if you're highly offended by booting accepts guests, please tell me. Here's ultimately what I feel like. These are flags. And I keep coming back to the idea that we just need sort of like, let's just call it podcast:flags. And it's a list of, or just call podcast:flag. Mm. And it's accepts guests, trial feed, blah, blah, blah. Like just a bunch of like just a bunch of properties, or even just put it in the TXT record. Let's just put it in the TXT.
Sorry, I'm gonna ease the pain. Ready?
All right, ease it.
What phase was alternate enclosure in? That's like three or four.
Three, yeah.
Yeah. I have a request for Stephen B, who is the wizard of sovereignfeeds.com. My request for Stephen B is I would like to have an alternate enclosure spit out in my feed that I can put an IPFS link in. Because once I create the IPFS link, maybe I can convince an app or two to, which obviously will be CurioCaster, to accept that, because I'm running a node. I'd like to get that cranking. I'd like to use it. I'd like to see if IPFS actually scales with podcasts. And that would be my request.
You are publishing a feed on IPFS right now?
Yes, I am.
Which ones? The no agenda or this
all
one?
All of my feeds. All of my feeds.
Okay.
And I will use it for all of them. And there's people I can see in the... Well, hold on a second.
Cameron's code, right?
Yes. IPFS. Okay. Hold on, let me just check for a second. IPFS podcasting.net. Let me just log. It's such a elegant system he's created here. I'm also... I'm pinning them all, so I'm hosting them all forever. All previous episodes, etc. Anything that's in the feed. Hold on a second, I just need to log in. Mm-hmm. And I have two nodes running. Just take
two IPFS nodes.
Yeah, yeah.
One's running on the Start 9, and where's the other one running?
Umbral. On the Umbral. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let me see for podcasting 2.0. Let me see, because I can tell. So there's a little lag, obviously. Episode 134 had two downloads. 133 had five. 132 had 38. Toilet Scroller 131 had 29. So it's in the 20s and 30s after a while. Let's see. No Agenda has, that we have an 80 downloads here. 29, 37, 62. So it varies. And there's at least seven nodes hosting it. So, it's like there's something there. It's in its infancy, but I kind of believe in it. I believe in this stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, like.
So that was my request to Stephen B. Like he doesn't have enough.
You want an alternate enclosure. You want an IPFS alternate enclosure tag.
Yeah. I mean, yes, that's what I want. Okay. An IPFS alternate enclosure tag. And that will make James happy. Because he wants using alternate enclosure. he wants to push the alternate enclosure. Now, he uses it in a different way. He's thinking of lower bandwidth, which is fine, lower bandwidth versions. But I think, why do that
when you can have IPFS and have more bandwidth?
Yeah, exactly. Let's use it for more bandwidth. Screw you, Africa. Shall we thank some people here, Dave?
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah, let's thank some people.
Because man, we have quite a few boosts that have been coming through. Let's see. Right off the bat, so 13 seconds ago, 2222 from Martin. You heard it. Approach me with shady proposals to get your song played next week. Okay, Martin. Martin from Pod Friend.
I like this. Turning it around and getting money for this is a good idea.
This is how it should work, man. Payola is everything. Satchel Richards from Booberry. Excuse me. 11,111. He says, people on NAS, No Agenda Social, be like, I hate this place. Nothing works here. The medications don't work. I've been here for 7 years. Yeah, exactly.
7 years.
Exactly. I am Mr. Robot with the Boob Boost 8008. Dave, I feel your pain. Been in the sysadmin help desk role for over 20 years. Never underestimate the power of the problems created between the chair and the keyboard. Mm-hmm. Yep. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting!
We got Mark S. 3111. Fountain needs to send a push notification when the episode goes live. Didn't see one come through. That's correct. That's not working yet. That's being worked on from what I understand. 99.99 from Lavish. I'm sure that was during the song from Halfway to Somewhere because he said funky. 10,000 sats from Martin. He's on a roll here. Just want to say PodFriend at the moment only supports the value time split after an episode has been released, not lit episodes. Understood. I'll hopefully be implementing the code over the next couple of weeks. Get your WebSocket listener ready. So right now, please use Kurt Kirocaster if you're listening lit.
Good call.
Row of ducks, 2222 from Harv Hat. Maybe from Harv Hat twice. There's no name on this other one. 10,000 from Martin. Psst, if you play my song, I'll pay you an exposure. What is it with the Danish, man? You guys are corrupt. Corrupt. That's all you can think of. I'm thinking new industry. Martin's thinking corruption.
Well, he's got a Polish wife. So I mean, it's like,
wow, racist much, Dave Jones. Mark S. Marks 3111 listening live from a first time through Fountain. Love it. Yes, welcome all Fountain listeners. Anonymous 1010 Blueberry PodPress and publisher now has a chapter builder. That's right. That's right. Beautiful. We love that. More tools. Mike Newman, 8675, PodFriend 2.0 iOS beta boostage. Nice. Thank you for your courage. So that's he's on test flight. So it works. Beautiful. Some quack with 222, conspiracy theory boost. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a no agenda boost, of course.
We'll take it.
Right. Other way up, boosts 50,000 sats and says, please, one large pepperoni.
Okay.
I was doing the help desk talk. I guess has something to do with that. We have Brian of London, 31,948, 31948, an Israeli freedom boost. When Dave talks about help desk, I immediately picture him in the IT crowd telling someone to turn it off and on again.
There is some of that, yes.
Yeah, I'm sure. That's what I tell my wife. Turn it off and on. Did it work? Apple stuff, usually that works. Cotton gin. 7777, scissors run my world. Correct. Anonymous with a nice row of ducks, 22,222. Catch up boost. Why does my Albi wallet keep disconnecting from Podverse? I don't know. I think that's maybe because they had node problems. It's been pretty stable for me. I had a lot of issues with that, and everyone fixed something, and I really haven't seen that, but. Maybe
I had
once
generally since. Trouble with Albi's wallet over the last week, and then all of a sudden it just fixed itself, and now it's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we can see that in our daily boost total, too. When Albi has problems, it hurts everybody. That's centralization. Yeah. We've already been through that. Free Money Monkey, 15,000 sats. Hello. Boosting from Podverse. Well, hello to you. Tone Wrecker 2222. New era idea. Dave's Nightstand. New podcast idea. Sorry. New podcast. Dave's Nightstand. Oh, for your books?
Oh, obviously.
Dave's Nightstand. Yes. Podcast.
What have I got on my nightstand right now? I still got. The Secrets of the Simple will be on the nightstand for at least another year because it's 700 pages. I've also got Orthodoxy is on there because I'm about 2/3 of the way through that. Oh, there's a new addition to the nightstand right now, which is a book about, I wish I could remember. It's called A Question of Sedition. It is a book. I think the subtitle is Censorship of the Black Press During World War II.
Ooh, my goodness.
It is a read, let me tell you. I mean, like...
I'll bet. Yummy.
It is all about, like, J. Edgar Hoover and...
Who, by the way, J. Edgar Hoover was black.
Yeah, which is in context of this book is hilarious.
Did you know that? Most people don't know that.
I did.
Light-skinned black.
I heard the reason I know that is from MoFax.
You're right. Mike.
Yeah. Good.
Mike Newman checks in with a striper boost, 77,777 satoshis. Woo! Frank Sinatra, he says, was singing about today, the golden age of podcasting. Okay, I guess. Yeah.
Agreed.
Tone Wrecker, 5150 Fountain Livestream, working on the trial. Good to know. NA Millennial, 11,111. New York is full of wankers.
Yeah. Thank you. Rankers.
This is all rankers and wankers is all from the pre-show, the pre-stream that we did. And Martin with 12345 saying pre-shows are the best. We have 6,000 sats from ChatGPT. Check that out. ChatGPT has sent us a boost. I just want to give a huge shout out to the amazing team behind the Podcasting 2.0 podcast. Hand clap. Your dedication to pushing the boundaries of podcasting and exploring the exciting frontiers of the industry is truly inspiring. A star emoji. Thank you. Thank you very much, ChatGPT. And check it out. Fletcher comes in with the pre-boost.
Satoshi Slack.
88,888. Beautiful, man. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. And those were, I think, pretty much all of the big mentionable pre-stream boosts. We appreciate that. And Dave has more.
We have a real dearth of Satoshi Slam Boost, because that's a great jingle.
Yeah, I know. It's 100,000 is great, but a Satoshi Slam is, you know, I'm sorry, there's two more that came in, if you don't mind. They're both baller boosts, good. So I want to make sure we do it. We have Sam Sethi checking us out over in the UK. Of course, PodFans, PodFans.com, I believe. It's PodFans.com.
I thought it was FM.
Let me check. Let me make sure I do this right. PodFans. Yes, you are. PodFans.fm. I got to get that right.
He ponied up for the expensive domain name.
And when you go to... he did. That is really expensive. Those .fm domain names are no joke. 101010. Thank you very much. Baller Boost.
Baller. Oh, thank you, Sam. 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
And he says, I hear your pain on duplicate GUID trying to fix the RSS V4V issues, asking, do I need custom key, custom value, and address? And he plans to add lightning address to the value tag.
Lightning address, I thought we already added that to the spec.
I think so.
But you have to resolve it on the client.
Right.
You can't just send it over to the node. So you need to, the lightning address, this is maybe poorly documented. I need to write this down to make sure that everybody knows how this works, because there's a dot well-known URL that you can use to resolve the lightning address into a key send with custom key and custom value. Let me make a note of that too.
In Sovereign Feeds, you go in and it literally says, if you add a split, it says use Fountain, use GetAlby. And you click on it. So I would type in sam@getalby.com and boop, it just resolves it right into the block.
Yeah. You have,
which is so cool.
The lightning address in the context of a value block, you resolve that with, it's like dot well known slash the name slash keysend, I think. And it will give you back a JSON block with the custom key, custom value that you need. I'll post it on the Mastodon, Sam.
One more baller boost before we get to the other ones that you have on your list from Dreb Scott, of course. 100,001 Satoshis.
Baller! Shot caller! 20 inch blaze on the Impala!
Love the hot, sexy namespace talk. Chapters will be delayed for this episode. Busy weekend starts tonight. I'm in charge of setting up audio and video for an outdoor movie night at the 6-year-old's elementary school this evening. Wish me luck that it goes well. We don't have angry parents and disappointed kids.
Go podcasting!
Dreb, that's the last thing you need.
You need to throw up a split kit QR code for your services.
Yeah, what we need to do is we need to give him a little bit of setting up karma. I'll hand it out to him.
You've got karma.
We need IT dude karma for that. All right, Dave, continue with what you got.
Well, what I've got is a fountain PayPal for $200 from Oscar and the Boys.
Whoa! Thank you, Oscar and the Boys.
Shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Much appreciated. Keeps everything running, including our new big database.
Yeah, that's right. We got fat databases. That's our only PayPal. So we got some boostergrams. We got 111112 from Dreb Scott.
Whoa,
that's boosting the money printer. Go, brrr.
That's a baller, big baller.
Shot caller, 20 inch blaze on the Impala.
Thank you. It's still number one on the Wave Lake Top 40.
That's from last week, and we got another one from Dreb Scott. 123456 from last week at 5 o'clock, saying boosting "It's So Hard to Feel Alive" by Corey Keller.
Oh, baller, you did it, man.
Shot caller, 20 inch blaze on the Impala.
You got to get some back end on those deals, Dreb.
That's right. Yeah, turn it around. Take a note out of the Danish playbook and turn that thing around.
Yeah, turn that thing around. Put it in your own pocket.
SCOTT gave us a little, gave us a rocker emoji, 1420. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
In the morning gave us 3000 sass. Says great show.
Thank you.
6666 from Mirror Motors Podcast, our buddy Kyron. He says, dang, that Bitcoin 2024 conference sounds really appealing. I plan to be traveling at that time as well. Maybe.
Oh, I would love to have you there. I mean, and we have a call, next week, Dave. With those dudes.
Isn't that like Wednesday or something?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. That's, we will report back. We're going to make it badass.
A buddy of mine's coming too. He's going to drive up there from Birmingham. And we'll, if anybody wants to make it out and to Nashville, yeah. I mean, we'll do a meetup.
Yeah. Oh, yes, great idea. And let us know if you're going in general and if you're interested in being a part of the presentation, because I just don't know who's there. We're figuring this all out. But if you already have plans on going, let us know.
Yeah, and we'll do we know if Roy is flying over or any?
I still need to call Roy. I need to call Roy. No need to be coy, Roy.
Yeah, we need to figure out if the Albie guys are going. Yeah, just everybody let us know if they're going. Yeah. Like who's
going, so we can start putting a program together. It's good, because it would be cool if we can have a number of people on stage to talk about, from different disciplines of the 2.0 value for value universe. Let's show people what we're doing, because we are actually doing stuff that everyone said they would do, like micropayments, like music. Mm-hmm. We're doing it, people. We're doing it. We are the champions. My friends, just saying.
2,000 sass from Nicholas B58. It just says boost.
Yo, boost.
Boost. Another 2,000 from Nicholas. He says boosting from the future.
Boosting back from the future. Beautiful. Boost.
And a third from Nicholas B58, 2,000 sass. He says boosting is like zapping. Love it.
Boost.
Bad career advice. Chad sends us a huge row of ducks, 22-22, and he says, what?
Hold on. Sorry. The ducks came by.
I've frozen it. I'm unfrozen now. What Dave shared about siloed content, comments, ratings across the closed captioning ecosystem blew my mind.
Nice.
I'm a mind blower.
We aim to blow your mind.
who aim to blow. Don't say that. Can you imagine how many meetings and how much money those companies spent to break down silos in the organization while having a prime directive to create silos?
Yeah.
It is the nature of the beast.
That's right.
If you come across this beast in the wild and it has missed a few meals, e.g. quarterly earnings reports, it will eat you. Like Adam said, the only way is to say F them and build decentralized.
There you go. Boom. Shakalaka. Yep.
Todd from Northern Virginia, a huge Satchel Richards 11111 through the Podcast Index website, says, "All hell is going to break loose and you're going to need a Bitcoin."
Oh, man. I see if I'd had. Hold on a second.
Yeah, you were slow on the draw.
I didn't know. hold on. I have it here. Yeah, here we go.
They're saying that all hell is going to break loose and you're going to need a Bitcoin.
Archie sent us a humongous Satchel Richard 111111 through the Boost CLI, says, for the scissors.
And that's a baller boost, is it not?
Oh, yeah, it is.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Archie is S-U-C-D in the chat, in the Podcast Index social. Source D. I love sushi, sent us a Striper Boost 7777 through Fountain. He says, love the conference ideas. Yeah, that's going to be a good one.
It's going to be off the chain, man.
Yeah. Mary Oscar, also known as Oscar Mary, sent us 20,000 sass through Fountain. He says, would love to come on and talk about transcripts implementation and how we can share user pay for transcripts back to the feed. Yep, we're going to have you on.
We're going to have you on, man. As soon as you have my time value split set up, we're good to go. There's no pressure.
Never a pressure. Joel W., Satchel Richards, 1111, no note. Mm-hmm. Anonymous, 2222, no note. We got Clarkian, a friend of mine, 25529. He says, adding another 529 to my usual 25K for my Memorial Day boost while at the lake. Beep, bop, de boo, bop. Boost! Sir Spencer, 22222 row of ducks through Fountain. He says, would love to help with the V for V panel in Nashville. Oh, Sir Spencer.
Definitely.
I'm putting together a V for V presentation for our own Bitcoin block party here in KC next month. I can speak to the podcasting aspect, live item tag, and the music aspect. Plus, I could drive out so you don't need to burn a plane ticket.
Well, wow. Yeah,
that sounds like
I don't
a great
even
idea.
Have to go at all. Just let Sir Spencer do it.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Get that handled, Spencer.
Thanks, bro. Yeah. We're going to get as many people. I'm going to have a big stage. We need the main stage, the big stage. We need a lot of time, a lot of mics.
Sir Spencer, I'm disappointed that Wave Lake operates as a walled garden. The spirit of decentralized music is anyone can publish a feed and have their content available on the various apps in the ecosystem. When Abel Kirby and I released Stay a While on Christmas Eve 2020, it was with splits and lyrics supported. With Wave Lake, there are no splits, no support for lyrics. And if we wanted our music available, we would have to re-upload it to their servers and make a duplicate feed. Open hosting is the way.
That's a good point. I have my own minor nitpick with Wave Lake. You can't boost more than 999 sats. It's a max.
What?
Yeah. If you want to boost from their interface, I put some sats in the wallet there.
Oh, from their UI.
Yeah. It's 999. I was like, that's nothing.
I wonder why.
Well,
I think this addresses Sir Spencer's thing. I mean, I've talked to Michael and Sam. I think they're just moving slowly and they're trying to, I mean, it's just the two of those guys and they're trying to build something right. I don't think there's anything.
No, it's not nefarious. It's hard. Yeah. It's hard. It's hard building a service like this. It's hard setting stuff up. I completely agree.
No, I understand, Spencer. I mean, I understand what you're saying. I fully do. I think that they're just trying to make sense of this thing because we hit them. This was not their intention.
No, we hit them right in the forehead. Like, oh. It's like, whoa, what's happening? And now we're dominating their chart.
Yeah, so I think this all works itself out as their stuff matures.
Yeah. But I love that we have MusicSideProject.com, which helps you self-host it, which I think for music is completely appropriate.
For sure.
And, that's another thing that I would love to see on Start OS.
Yeah, the pressure yeah, keep the pressure up. I mean, that's the way you're right.
Yeah.
Yep. Let's see. Anonymous 2222 through anonymous through Castomatic. Thank you. 4096 from Gene Bean.
Nice.
Says the YouTube thing reeks of embrace, extend, extinguish.
Ooh, yeah, scary, but yes, mm-hmm. You're right.
E3, yep. Gene Bean 7777 Striper Boost through Castomatic says, bring Mercy Me to Value for Value, and I'll have an entirely new group of people who I can talk to about V4V.
Well, I am indoctrinating those guys, and did I tell you that I talked to him about this? We have like a group text, and I said, hey, look at what we're doing. And they listened to this piece of the show and said, so did you work with labels and, and ASCAP BMI? I said, no, bro. So, you know, I would say you never know. Yeah. You never know. It's a road I'm walking down.
Let's see.
Do it for Jesus. Do it for Jesus, boys.
All in for Jesus.
Yep.
Gene Bean 2222 through Castomatic. He says the posting back of tags via the notes doesn't feel right. I think I'm with Adam here. That's fine. Yeah. Just throwing stuff out there where, you know, nothing's set in stone.
Nope.
Just exploring.
Running with scissors.
Yep. 2222 Gene Bean. He says, I think asking people on the free hosting providers to manually submit their show to the index is perfectly reasonable. When you use free services, a few extra hoops to jump through are not uncommon. True.
I agree.
Very true. Airhead with a rush boost 2112 through Podcast Index website. He says, Peer 2 5.2 release candidate, that would be RC1, supports value block directly in PeerTube's RSS stream at both channel and episode level. Props to Alex Gates for all his work in getting the change made to PeerTube.
I agree. Big boost.
Boost!
Love that, man. Yeah. Good work, Alex.
Yeah, we're going to have Alex on the show to tell us, you know, all about that and, you know, tell us what all's, you
yeah,
know, what
then, all's going then we're going to bring the YouTubers.
Yeah. I wanted to have him on. He said, hey, why don't we wait till the new release is out. That's got all the stuff in it. So I think we're good to go to have him on now. So okay. I'll schedule something with
schedule it up, baby.
Meet us 33333 through Fountain. He says, Leela and I would like to throw our hats in the ring to speak about V4V in Nashville. There we go. Another one.
Yeah. Excellent. Hat received. Hat caught. Caught the hat. Got the hat.
Fun fact, Friday has benefited greatly from V4V, and we love a road trip.
That it would be great to have the two of them speak for a moment about their experience.
That would be good.
So it's just not all, you know, nerds. Sorry, nerds.
Oh, Dad, David and Leela are nerds.
Well, yeah. But you know, she can pass for a non-nerd.
True, true. Marks 3111 through Fountain. He says, "Money printer, go burr! Can't get enough."
It's still number one, man. It's, you can't help but like that song.
Anonymous. Ooh, big anonymous boost. 321,700 sets.
Oh, Baller, man.
What's up with that? 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Any note?
It says, boosting It's So Hard to Feel Alive by Corey Keller.
Oh, yes. Okay, so that did it because Corey was, you know, just barely scratching the top 10. And then an anonymous booster came in and whooped him right into the top 5.
So nice. That happened in the feed
after the fact. Ooh, thank you.
Wow. Thank you.
Yeah.
That was an anonymous boost.
I love it. Was it CurioCaster?
CurioCaster, yeah.
CurioCaster. Okay, nice. Thank you.
Thank you, Anonymous. Aerostatica, 50,000 sats.
Ooh, nice.
Through Fountain says, for the hell of it. Okay.
For the hell of it, we'll give you this. Just for the hell of it.
Borlog 20,000 sats through Podverse says, strong work, gentlemen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's see. So did you read the tone wrecker pre-boosting before the June 2nd show since I'll miss the live chat?
No.
Okay. Yeah. He says, summer is underway. I'll miss the live stats from pre-boosting. 10101.
boost.
Thank you, tone wrecker. Appreciate that. And we got the delimiter.
Yeah.
Comic strip blogger. 33015 through Fountain. He says, Dave and Adam, our dynamic duo who make greasing the wheels of the spit and sawdust machine that is the Podcast Index look easy. Large language models and podcasting are a match made in heaven. Assure yourselves that every deployment of artificial intelligence that matches perfectly to the podcasting will be covered by AI.cookingpodcast. News items expertly recounted, then colored by Gwoof. With deft deconstruction and honest humor, let collaborative automation ease your heavy lifting. Yo, CSB.
Fat streamer.
Thank you very much, Gwoof and CSB. Appreciate you. So those are the boosts, and then we have monthlies.
We got some monthlies here from the PayPals. We got Aaron Reno, $5. Pedro Goncalves, $5. Scott Jalbert, $12. Chad Farrow, thank you, Chad, $20.22. Mark Graham, $1. And Martin Lindeskog, $1.
Thank you all so much for supporting Podcasting 2.0, not just the podcast, of course, but also the entire project, the index, the servers, everything that's running, the extra work we put in. Although we take no salaries, all the Satoshis stay on the node. We use them for liquidity. Happy to open one for you. And of course, it's expensive to open channels these days with the frickin' ordinals. And you can go to podcastindex.org down at the bottom. You see two red donate buttons. One is for your fiat fund coupons through PayPal. And we also have our Tally coin where you can send on-chain Bitcoin or Lightning. And a thank you to Anonymous for sending us 160,063 Satoshis.
Shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
I love it when people use that thing. It's always unexpected, but always, always nice. Very, very nice. Yeah, it's a value for value. Value for value works, everybody. And remember, listen to this episode, or at least the portions with the songs, to support the artists. I do have an end of show song, which will play after the ending bits here, which is from some local boys. They're called Boys Home. They are from Kerrville, Texas, and they have Blink 182 is kind of their inspiration. It's 2 minutes and 9 seconds. So, yeah, you know what kind of song that's going to be. They jam 5 minutes into it. but they just uploaded their not only their debut EP, but also their full album to Wave Lake. And I want to support them. And I hope you will as well by doing that in CurioCaster or in PodFriend.
I love Sir Spencer's talking a lot about music podcasting in the chat. I just love the one thing I love about what Spencer's has done since day one is just he's just been a demonstration of how you can just do this on your own. You don't have to have, if you have some knowledge and you have the will, you can just run all of your own stuff. You don't have to have a host. If you don't want to, I mean, most people are going to go the hosting route, but at its most base level, RSS podcasting doesn't need, you can do it yourself.
Yes.
It's just a text file and audio. That's all it is.
And if you look at how much effort and enthusiasm and work artists and bands and musicians put into getting stuff done, with your own merch and with, your sales and, you got your table set up at your gig. I mean, they are entrepreneurs by definition. And we want to support that. And we want to make sure that works for everybody you don't need the big stupid infrastructure.
And you've got these bands on the road, they have all kinds of, they got roadies doing all their,
we're pulling cables ourselves, baby.
Stuff, yeah. I mean, like, I'm just thinking that, like, you could have one of the guys' jobs on the tour is monitoring the V4V.
Yes, and don't forget, you can also use the splitkit.com. Use that for your get some QR codes up on the screen, or print out a board. Print out a sign. Man, we are changing the world, Dave. I'm so proud of us. And when I say us, I mean not you and me. I mean everybody that's doing this. We should record this for prosperity. Oh, wait, we are.
I loved, I'm really addicted to PeerTube now. I'm kind of a, nuts about it.
And
it was so much fun doing the live server upgrade. And what was fun about it is I had everybody in there, like you and Alex and Airhead and talking and Archie was in there. I don't know. It just made, the whole thing fun. And it gave me a sort of a glimpse of the future of when all this stuff is baked, fully baked, how you really, really don't need YouTube.
Not at all. And I was sending you the default 69 sats per minute, which was, you didn't get that?
I didn't even know that I could get V for V through the thing. And then, I think it was Alex or somebody was like, hey, I'm trying to boost you. I'm like, boost me? What are you talking about?
Yeah. You can do it right from the PeerTube page. Although I want to have it in the app, you know, obviously for obvious reasons. But the PeerTube page worked too, worked perfectly. I connected it to my Albi wallet. I would like to be able to connect it to other wallets. Just saying, let's remember to keep the open nature of Lightning available, people, because we don't want to run into too much trouble. I want to be able to switch. Let's put it that way. If something goes wrong, I want to be able to say, oh, no problem. Let me connect my own Lightning wallet here.
Well, I mean, as far as I understand it, with the Lightning plugin, that's
possible.
That's on the table now. We'll get all the deets, but I think deets. That's on the table.
Oh, the deets. Okay, you're crushing it, yo, with your millennial speaks. All this stuff is sus. Remember, stay tuned for the end of show song. My brother Dave, have a great weekend.
You too, man.
And so should you, chat room. See you next week.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting! Oh, ram it, baby.
How many years will pass me by before I realize we're grown? Before you moved away, you packed my youth in a small brown bag. I never blamed you for that. How could I blame you for that? I missed the call a second time. I wanna make it out there soon. You flipped your car, I'm glad you're fine. I never realized that your friends become part of you. Yeah, every friend takes a piece of you.
Boost.